This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is kicking off another week of action by giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets instantly. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
All right, and good morning. Welcome into another Tuesday edition of The Blitz, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios up at FM 105.7 AM 1340. As always, you can head over to fanrunradio.com. Click that link at the top, powered by my bookie. Hey, we got the Periscope up and running. You can follow along with us. That is at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter and on Facebook. And if you like free things, we got the free 99 Fan Run Radio app. Download that today wherever apps are sold for you. Take us wherever you may travel. Get all the local programming here at Fan Run Radio. Chance Collins, GP3 with you for the next couple hours. No Charlie Collier, no intern Ryan. Playing a little hooky today, but the show must go on. No, great stuff, though. Great stuff. A little wet Tuesday here in East Tennessee. We've got some rain over the last couple of days. Yesterday, pretty nasty day for most of the afternoon after lunch, going into the night. Same thing today. Looks like we're going to get some more rain. But, nah, great show yesterday by the guys. I had to be out. The guys are out today. I make fun of them. But those guys got vaccinated. They're doing their part. They got their vaccinations, their second dose, and they're feeling a little bit under the weather, have you? But, yeah, they got vaccinated, so they're doing the greater good. So they will be back with us tomorrow, I'm sure. We let them take off today. How are you feeling, GP3?
Man, I'm doing pretty good.
You should be. You did pretty good over the weekend. Confidence picks?
Yeah, aside from confidence picks, my betting accounts have been good.
Yeah.
I haven't lost a straight bet in almost 15 straight plays now.
Wow.
So I'm on a roll there. I did lose a parlay, but that's parlays are different.
Yeah, they happen.
The Braves won again last night, extended their lead to three games up in the division. And outside of sports, I started watching The Sopranos, 5 episodes in, and I'm hooked.
Had you never seen it before?
I've never seen it before.
Oh, man, you're in for a treat then. Sopranos are up there for, you know, one of the great shows from HBO. It's great.
Yeah, I'm 5 episodes in right now, and I just, if they weren't an hour, like each episode wasn't an hour long, I'd.
Yeah, that was the only thing that was really tough when I was watching it, and I watched it years after it had ended, like I'm talking probably about like 10 years. I started watching it in 2017, and I finished it that same year when I started over the summer, and I even went on like a trip to Florida and was watching it while I was there, like any free time I had. It's a very good show. It ranks up there with me. Have you ever watched The Wire?
No, but that's
next.
I watched the pilot episode.
I was going to say, you have to watch The Wire as well. I know we have a lot of Soprano fans, and that's like the common debate, was Sopranos better than The Wire, because they both were made by HBO, HBO original programming, and they both had their day and live on, and people always talk about those two shows from HBO, but I love The Wire. I'm a big Wire fan. I've watched The Wire at least 3 times.
Yeah, that's next for me. And then, I don't know if you ever watched Dexter.
Yeah.
They're rebooting Dexter. So
I saw that they were rebooting that with Michael C. Hall. C. Hall, yeah.
Yeah, bringing back the original cast.
I guess, really?
The ones that are still alive on the show.
Dexter was good. Did you like Dexter?
I love Dexter.
Yeah,
up until about season six.
Yeah, I guess the last couple seasons on it were kind of weird. They took off on the story, and it wasn't as exciting as probably. I don't want to be a spoiler alert, but I won't give away
it's,
anyway.
It's been out for how long now?
I would say the best season is the season with Rita.
Oh, season four?
Yeah. With what's the killer?
The Trinity
name?
Killer.
The Trinity Killer. Oh, man, that's the best season.
Yeah, that was it. Honestly, they could have ended the show there.
They could have ended it there. And also, they could have actually dragged it out a little bit more with her.
Yeah.
I thought maybe they abruptly ended her tenure on the show, but that's what made it really good. Like, that was a heartbreaker for a lot of people. I remember when that was going on, I was watching it live. Like, that really killed a lot of people, no pun intended. It was a great show, though.
No, yeah, that one's up there for me. And then Breaking Bad and Sons of Anarchy are the
other
two.
Yeah, I love Breaking Bad. I loved Sons of Anarchy. It was also a great show. Another show, if you get a chance to watch it, since we're talking about, you know, new programming, FX. I always heard Justified was good. I never got into that one, but Snowfall.
Snowfall.
If you can get into Snowfall after you watch these other shows, it's kind of slow in the first season, kind of like a Breaking Bad, another show about drugs, but really good. Really good. It kind of talks about how the CIA played a part in shipping cocaine into the United States.
Oh.
So, like, yeah, it's really cool. I mean, it's an adaptation, but...
Kind of like Narcos? Did you ever
watch
that on
Netflix? Yeah, Narcos is great. Yeah. Narcos is great. Even Narcos Mexico, the spinoff.
See, I haven't seen that one yet.
That's really good, too. That's really good. Narcos was great, though. Oh, man. We're talking about some great shows this morning. I'm having a great day. I was out yesterday. Big news for me. The cat's kind of out the bag now. I can kind of spill it more. So, parents know now. So, I was out yesterday. You guys know. I was with my girlfriend doing it. We were at an ultrasound. Got to hear my kid's heartbeat again. Strong. Strong heartbeat.
Heart like an ox.
Yeah, heart like an ox. And most of you who are parents out there, it is crazy how much your child grows in a matter of just 2 weeks. Had an ultrasound 2 weeks prior. Just looked like a little gummy. Like a little gummy, a little bean up there. Go this week. Heartbeat looks great. Kids got arms sprouting. I guess that's the best term for it. Arms and legs. I saw the spine. Like I said, the heart was going strong. Head, like, looks like a baby now. It's really kind of crazy. It's really, the human anatomy is very crazy. And what a mother can, being able to conceive a child and the growth and development of the child over the time of the pregnancy is really cool. Really cool. So I was pretty excited yesterday. Got to do that. Everything's safe. Let all you guys know that do know. Everything's great. Strong heartbeat. I think we even got our due date moved up a couple of days. So looking at April next year, around like the third week in April.
That's right when my birthday is.
Nice, nice. Might have a little little lottery in here. When's Chance's baby coming? And put some money down. Holler at our friends at FanDuel. But no, everything's great. I'm on cloud nine, man. It was good to see. Really big news for me. Like the next couple of months, man, gonna be crazy. That's why I've been out kind of sporadically here and there. The guys have held it down for me. Had to go to these doctor visits, like I said, do these ultrasounds, do the testing, find out the gender in 2 weeks.
Sorry, you doing a gender reveal?
Like yeah, so biggest? I'm not gonna know. So which is really driving me crazy.
Right.
All you people out there who act like the gender reveal is so cool and you're so excited about that. Shut up. Shut up. I mean, really, shut up. You go through all this stress and being worried about, you know, is the baby healthy, things like that. And then you got somebody who comes along, most of the time your girlfriend, your wife. No, we're not gonna find out. It's not going to make it fun. What do you mean it's not going to make it fun? That's going to make it the most fun for me to go ahead and find out rather than me sit around and stress even more. But a healthy baby, oh no, what a boy. A healthy baby is what we want. But yeah, man, got a gender reveal. We'll find out the gender in a couple weeks. And they were like, yeah, we'll send the results to the bakery, whoever, put in the envelope, whatever.
I was like, put it in the envelope, and I'll just take a little peek, and I'll act surprised.
I never understood how somebody could wait until the actual birth.
Oh, yeah, like they used to?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, like, even some people nowadays.
Some people do it.
They just like, choose not to find out.
I couldn't. It's already killing me now, knowing that in 2 weeks, we'll actually know, but I still won't actually know. I still got to wait for this gender reveal party. But that'll be fun. I'm not the one throwing it. So it'll be fun. I shouldn't have to put a lot of money down on that. But some of the ideas that we've had thrown around about this gender reveal, like, let's go do the fountains at Margaritaville. Like, whoa, how much does that cost? That's like 5 G's. What? What? Do radio.
Do radio. Yeah.
Come on now. What are we doing here? But no, all jokes aside, very exciting Monday for me. I didn't get a chance to talk with the guys about the Tennessee football game, so me and Trey will do that a little bit on the other side. Last night, Monday Night Football, the Pack. Green Bay Packers bounced back, although a much inferior opponent, one of the bottom feeders of the NFL, the Detroit Lions. The Packers do bounce back.
Hey, Goff looked good until it started raining.
He did, and I heard Houston talk about that before we came in. That's that knock on him that he's had pretty much his entire career coming out of the draft, the small hands.
Yeah, can't grip the football.
So he can't grip the football in extreme inclement conditions. So he did look good first half, though, and I was like, wow, who is this Jared Goff without Sean McVay? But we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the rest of NFL Week 2. We'll have to get into our confidence picks. I did not do well this week in confidence picks. Tell you more about that as the show goes along. But on the other side, get my thoughts on the Tennessee versus Tennessee Tech game from Saturday and quarterback Hidden Hooker. Keep it locked here. This is The Blitz. This is Fan Run Radio. Welcome back to The Blitz, live here from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Cheer on the Big Orange with White Claw this season. If you haven't grabbed you some White Claw, I don't know what you're waiting on. Grab the variety pack. We'll grab some mango. That's one of my favorite flavors. But crafted with quality ingredients, White Claw Hard Seltzer is made from a blend of seltzer water, a gluten-free alcohol base. That's right, gluten-free alcohol base. Hint of fruit flavor. Just 100 calories. 1 gram of sugar won't leave you bloated feeling. 5% alcohol still packs a punch. And now available in 16 deliciously refreshing flavors. Please drink responsibly, though, at the same time. Tennessee wins on Saturday, 56-0. So I know you guys talked a little bit about it, but I want to run through it once more with you while it's on the brain. They went out and handled business like they were supposed to.
Yeah, they did.
You covered it against the team that you should. I think the spread was like, what, 46
or
something?
It was 40.5.
40.5,
right,
okay.
Before kickoff.
And did you have any doubt that they would cover?
I didn't.
I didn't either. I know when we left on the show Friday, I think I said 54-3. I thought that Tech might get a field goal.
Oh, they attempted one. That was pretty close.
They did.
Honestly, probably should have made it. It was only like a 40-yarder.
Yeah, they did. But they were just no match for an SEC opponent, more or less, for Tennessee.
Especially after their quarterback got hurt.
Yeah, and even with Tennessee's struggles that they've had, we've saw – and it's hard to say struggles because, I mean, he struggled a little bit with Bowling Green, but he still won the game. And he played very well against Pitt. Now, don't make you feel any better that Pitt went out and lost to Western Michigan over the weekend.
Yeah.
But I know that's tough. I don't even know how to, like, spin that. That's just tough. Don't make you feel good there. You feel like you really dropped one. And then it also makes your loss to Pitt, I guess, look a little bit worse, maybe. I'm not sure there. But besides that, Tennessee did go on – and handle business against Tennessee Tech 56-0.
Finally forced some turnovers.
Yeah, finally did force some turnovers. Four turnovers in the day, correct?
Yep.
Four turnovers.
Plus three differential because Hooker had the one fumble.
Oh, yeah, that's right, when he got drilled. Now, I don't know if you were watching. I know a lot of people.
Yeah, I saw that.
A lot of people were telling me that went to the game because I was going to go to the game. Got a chance. I had free tickets again, but then whenever I woke up and it was raining, I was like, I'm not sitting in the rain for Tennessee Tech. I just won't do it. But he's running. He gets popped. But then the DB who picks it up takes off the other way, and he gets popped too. And the people in the stadium, they told me that Hooker gets hit. It's like, ooh! And then on the other side, and when the DB's running back, he goes, ooh! No, two ooh licks on the same play.
I think it was Cade Mays who delivered the – the hit on the DB, mm-hmm. and I think that's actually what hurt him because I don't think he came back in the game after
that. Yeah, he got popped by Mace. He definitely got popped by Mace. But starting in place of injured starter Joe Milton III, it was Hendon Hooker. He passed for 199 yards, rushed for 64, had three passing touchdowns, one rushing, so four total on the day before giving it away to Harrison Baylor, who came in and scored the last touchdown as Tennessee was up 49-0. He got a rushing touchdown where he pulled it back, hit the outside. But it was Velus Jones Jr. It was, Velus Jones Jr., Javonte Payton. They were big contributors in the passing game, both catching a touchdown pass. But like you say, it was the four forced turnovers after not even getting a single turnover in the first two games. You had an interception from Jalen McCullough to Marion McDonald, Alante Taylor, and Salon Page. And Taylor was the one that had the – we thought was a pick six, right?
Thought it was. His heel
hit out of bounds. Yeah, right at like the 35 or something.
He like half-hurdled the quarterback who was trying to tackle him running mm-hmm. down the sideline. And
so he almost got him one to the house. Salon Page did get one. So not only did you get the four turnovers, you also got the defensive touchdown. So that was huge. What was your thoughts on the play by the quarterback? That's where we start first. That's the biggest focus is the play of the quarterback. There was no Joe Milton. He even was in street clothes. And then you had Hendon Hooker gets the start. And for me, I thought he did pretty good. Outside of the fumble, he did what he was supposed to do. He took advantage of what they gave him against a, like I said, much inferior opponent. But I thought he played pretty well. What did you think of it?
Yeah, I thought he did what he was supposed to do, I guess. I don't think he went out there and wowed anybody.
Not great.
Yeah, but I think he played about how I expected him to, and I think he played well enough to keep the job, I guess, if there is a competition between him and Milton now.
He overthrew some receivers, too.
He did. Seems like everybody.
Yeah, no. Can anybody just throw it to Cedric Tillman?
We even saw Harrison Bailey overthrow
yeah.
somebody.
Can somebody put one in Cedric Tillman's basket since he's just out here burning DBs and nobody can get him a pass?
But no, I mean I thought he played well. I hate playing teams like Tennessee Tech just because it's a lose-lose situation. Either you go out there and take care of business like you're supposed to, or you go out there and you underperform. And I thought he did well enough to keep his job, but nothing to wow me.
Yeah, I agree with there. Tyon Evans was back. He got to get some work.
Now, the run game was – I thought that was a little bit concerning.
Yeah, they were pretty bad. I'd say C-minus on the running backs. There was no Jabari Small. Maybe it's because Tyon Evans had been out. He only got 11 yards on his first five carries of the day. Jalen Wright didn't look great.
Mm-mm.
Evans just finished with only 41 yards. You had to think going into it with Tyon Evans playing, you're thinking he's going to go out and get 150-plus yards.
Yeah.
You know, at least 100.
After the way they played against Bowling Green.
Yeah, at least 100 on the ground. And I don't know about Jalen Wright. He continues to intrigue me with his potential, but also make me scratch my head with some of the things, I guess, that he does. I just don't know if he's running hard enough for me. I didn't think the running backs did great. The other receivers did well. They got into space. Jacob Warren, tight end, catches a touchdown for the second straight game.
Well, we had 9 different touchdown scorers, I think, on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody scored 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, nobody scored 2.
Kind of cool. Spread the love.
Yeah, I'm not mad about that. At least Velus Jones, Jacob Warren.
Payton.
Yeah, Payton. Jimmy Callaway got one, too?
I think so.
I think Jimmy Callaway got him one.
Tyon and Hooker both scored one rushing.
Yeah, no, it was a complete, you know, team effort as far as like going out and but the funny thing is, this is what we do. We're very critical as we analyze these games and provide commentary. But fans, we know fans are even more critical. And I have never seen so much negative talk or so much discussion after a team wins 56-0. I mean, I don't know what our fans wanted them to do. Like, it's like our fans wanted them to put up 82. Like, well, you know, like Oklahoma against that team they put up the week before.
That's why I hate playing Tennessee Tech, because you can go out there and win 56-0 and not look good doing it.
Yeah, it can be a nasty game. It definitely can.
I did, but that is one thing that I took away, and maybe that's just a small minority of folks, but it seemed like all through that Vol for Life page and the talk on Twitter was just that guys didn't do enough still, and I don't know what else the fans want there. I really don't. You go out, you win 56-0. Had you won 30-something-0, it wouldn't have been enough. But you scored at least 14 points in every quarter outside the last one when you called the dogs off a little bit. You definitely called the dogs. So, Josh Heupel, I'll give him a solid B+.
Yeah.
I thought he called a pretty good game. There's no complaints from me. If Milton's not starting, I do want Hooker to start. And looking towards Florida, it's Florida Hate Week as we look very feverishly towards Florida. As much as we thought before the season, we thought, you know, Florida don't look that great.
Yeah.
That changed. Florida looks like they could be beat. They don't look as strong as last year. I think that changed after they came up slightly short to taking Alabama to overtime. I mean, a two-point conversion away.
Well, they were a missed PAT, I guess, technically, in the first half. If they make that PAT, they don't have to go for two.
Yeah, they don't have to go for the two, and they're just going, and then they do go to overtime. They played very well against Alabama. We'll talk about that more as the show goes along. But, yeah, I give Tennessee overall, I'll give them a B- from top to bottom.
I think that's fair. I think that's a fair grade.
Yeah, I don't want to be too high on the team because it is Tennessee Tech, but I thought defense really turned it around. Getting takeaways, that was something we had to see. You hadn't had a takeaway in each of the first two games, and if you didn't get one in versus Tennessee Tech, there was going to be some issues. There was going to be some issues, no doubt. And again, once I say looking at Hooker, I think he's provided enough that I'm comfortable with him starting this weekend if he has to make the start. Now, does that make me feel indifferent either way towards putting a W in the win column? No, but if Milton was the starter, I don't think I'd feel even more intrigued to say that they can win that game on the road in the Swamp. But I do think one of those two quarterbacks gives you the best chance to win. And right now, with Milton not playing the last two games,
Hooker's got the
– I think Hooker has the advantage for me. Yeah.
And I said this yesterday.
He has more reps over the last 2 weeks.
My biggest takeaway from the game on Saturday was that Harrison Bailey is third for a reason.
Yes.
That we saw him play, and I put it out on Twitter. Like, I want to see how he plays. He went out there and played. And, yeah, okay. There's a reason he's third.
He doesn't bring the same element those two guys do in this offense that Heupel wants to run. Sure, he can run. And nobody's saying Harrison Bailey, so I'm tired of hearing the talk. People quit saying Harrison Bailey isn't mobile. Nobody's saying he's not mobile. Nobody's saying that kid is slow. What we are saying is that the other two quarterbacks fit what Josh Heupel wants to do in an up-tempo type of offense. And they provide more of an element of attack. They just do. They provide a better element of attack, those other two guys, when you talk about up-tempo and as far as how they can run the offense. It's nobody saying Harrison Bailey's slow, though, or that he's not mobile. It's just those two guys are best for that offense. And that's just hands down. That's what it is. Harrison Bailey even missed a throw. Sure, he pulled one, and he scored a touchdown. But me or you could have walked that one in. Me or you could have walked that one in once we pulled it. We could have walked in. You saw him. He skipped it in. Don't tell me that was him showing off his speed or his quickness or his agility. He skipped into the end zone. There wasn't a soul around. It could have drove a Zamboni around that edge.
Now, he did have that one really nice play where he got flushed in the backfield, was able to avoid one person, and then ran for about 4 or 5 yards to pick up the first down.
Yeah.
He did have one nice play like that, but there's just something different when he comes into the game, and it's not good.
It's not. It's not. And there's, like you said, there's a reason why he is the third-string quarterback. There's a reason why he was third-string on the previous staff, or backup quarter, what do you want to say, whether he moved to second string or third string with Jeremy Pruitt. But there's a reason why. And, hey, man, maybe the kid gets a shot. Other crazier things have happened. He might get a shot as the season goes along, but right now he's not the guy. 865-546-8200. That is the number to get on the G3 Help Me hotline. On the other side, it's time to jump into some NFL But before that, we will go ahead and look around the college football landscape from this weekend. I want to talk about that Alabama-Florida game and a couple of others. Keep it locked here. This is The Blitz, and this is Fan Run Radio. Welcome back to The Blitz, live here on Fan Run Radio, AM 1340 FM 105.7 on your dial. Oh, man, I missed that. I missed that. I missed the Florida Hate Week. I miss it when Tennessee, now you've only had one win in the last decade against the guys.
It was a damn good win, though.
It was a damn good win. But I was going to say I miss it when it was fairly competitive, and at least we went into each one thinking. Just having a glimmer of hope that Tennessee could win. We went into that for a while. We definitely thought that we could.
Well, yeah, in those early days of Butch Jones, I mean, you lost one 10-9. You had Florida shut out until the fourth quarter, until they put that backup in.
Yeah.
I think that was the first ever Checker Nealon game that we did back then.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the one in the swamp where was it Will Grier threw the
Will Grier threw
the bomb to
Callaway.
Yeah.
And then you had
Medley missed the 57-yarder at the end. Looked like it was going in, and
then he also had the one where Will Muschamp came in here with the wide receiver turned quarterback, Treon Harris, and he carved you up. It's been some tough times.
The Hail Mary.
The Felipe Franks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a tough time. But we still love Florida Hate Week. We'll have a Florida man / woman story in hour number two. I'll find a good one. That's what we pair with that music right there. We know you love to hear it. We'll make fun of some Floridians. But speaking of Florida, Alabama, that's what we wanted to get to. What a damn good game. What a damn good game over the weekend. And definitely tables my thoughts about Tennessee going down to the swamp and pulling up the upset of the year. They looked good, man.
Maybe it just means Alabama sucks. And
Maybe. Does that put Alabama on notice to other teams across the SEC and across the country as far as when they get to a playoff
I think Ole picture? Miss. I think Ole Miss could beat them.
Ole Miss can beat them.
I think so.
I agree. I think they can. But it's going to take – as the season goes along, they always get a lot better. They get a lot tougher. But they didn't scare me watching them against Florida. But I won't lie. I was one of those people when they first come out. I think they went up 21-2.
28-3.
28-3, something like that.
It was 21-3 at the end of the first quarter, I think.
And I was like, all right, they're going to boat race them.
Well, they covered the first half spread.
Yeah. And then Florida came back, and it was on the strengths of running the ball and getting some key stops on the defensive side of the ball. And you probably could argue that Florida should have won that game from a lot of people's perspective. Bryce Young did well. He was still 22 of 35 for 233 yards, 3 touchdowns, no turnovers. But it was the rushing game. It was the rushing game that was halted for Alabama. They couldn't get a lot going. And on the other side, the Gators could. They had 4 rushing touchdowns against Alabama in this game. Four touchdowns on the ground. No touchdowns through the air. Emory Jones had a pick. Richardson didn't play, I guess. Is that his last name?
Yeah. Antonio. Is it Antonio Richardson?
I think it's Anthony.
Antonio Richardson was tiny, who played for Tennessee.
Yeah. So, yeah, they held their own, and that makes me think that Alabama's not as strong as we thought they were, but still, when they play Tennessee, I mean, they're going to be a lot better.
I saw a couple writers on Twitter after the game talking about how they just attacked the weak spot in Alabama's defense, the weak spot being Henry To'oto'o.
Yep, Hank T.
He, from what I saw, because I didn't get to watch the game, but from the highlights I saw, he was always out of position, just not where he was supposed to be to make the play. And it's still somewhat surprising to me that that's possible in a Nick Saban coached defense.
Yeah, it seems like Saban puts everybody where they're supposed to. They're always in the right place at the right time. They do a pretty damn good job of that, of, you know, lining up, knowing their assignments. But that was a problem for Toa Toa when he was here. And people wanted to blame it on, you know, it's the culture of Tennessee. It's Jeremy Pruitt. But as you said, you saw him struggle this past weekend as well. You saw him struggle this past weekend. And not only did he struggle, like I said, Alabama top to bottom, they got ran on. They were still great in the secondary, as they are.
Always are.
But you were able to push the ball on them if you were Florida. You got to feel good about that. You're able to push the ball and control the line of scrimmage. Who has controlled the line of scrimmage in X amount of years against Alabama? They always win in the trenches. They always do. So that was a positive sign for teams looking ahead, and, you know, maybe not for Tennessee, but on the other side, Tennessee looks like they're going to have a tall order to fill against Florida this weekend in the Swamp. It's already in the Swamp and underneath the lights. And that was something that Alabama fans and players talked about, was the environment in the Swamp for that game. It was super loud. They had a great crowd there for a, you know, for their 3:30 game. It was a great crowd, and they got up for it. So we'll go over to the G3 Help Me hotlines right now, though. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III can help you get the compensation that you deserve. At G3, you matter most. Visit G3HelpMe.com or call them up at 865-401-8214 to get help now. That's G3HelpMe.com. Again, G3HelpMe.com. So we go over to the phone lines, GP, and let's take a call from Matt. Top of the morning to you, Matt. You're on the Blitz.
Top of the morning, guys.
Hello, sir.
Well, Florida week, guys.
It is.
We got, you were talking about the offensive line a minute ago, getting some push. You guys think our offensive line can do that? Because I think that's been one of our glaring weaknesses so far.
I think if Cooper Mays is back, it definitely helps. Because then you can reshuffle the offensive line back to the way it was in the early stages against Bowling Green. And they had no trouble controlling the line against Bowling Green. But we haven't seen them since Cooper went out. So I think it's hard to tell right now. But my guess would be no.
I would say no right now, but GP made a good point. If Cooper Mays is back, I think you'll see a little bit of a push. I don't think the Tennessee's offensive line is just trash. I think they, like, when they have it the way they want it with Cooper Mays at center, you also have the added element they can go faster. I love, you know, that they've got guys that have stepped in for Cooper Mays, and they're doing the best they can, but at the same time, you can see it. They're not as fast without their guy out there. They need him out there. That offense is even more up-tempo when he's able to lead the charge.
I'll tell you, that's one thing that's been good watching so far, is I think every game we've played in, I've seen the defense get gassed at least 3 or 4 times where they either have to call a timeout or they get a substitution penalty. And I don't think Florida's going to be any different. If we execute as quick as they're executing and get close to 80 plays a game or more, I don't know, man. If they can do that, we can throw up some points. It's just there's so many factors. I was sitting there thinking when you guys were talking about the quarterbacks. Is swag still I'm a little bit older. Is swag still a cool term, or what's the new – what is
Absolutely.
It now? What is everybody
– People still use swag. You might hear drip. You got the drip.
Drip. That's drip. It. I've heard drip. I'll play some Call of Duty, and I'll say swag, and the younger generation will get on to me, and it's drip now. So I'm like, all right, man, my bad.
I still say swag. I'm 37 years old.
Yeah, Chance and I
swag.
Are a little getting up there in age, too, so we're not fully in touch.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, I feel like, personally, I think Milton's got swag. Like, I don't know if he's better than Hooker. I think they're about the same, but I just feel like he's got that it factor, just the confidence or whatever. And I'll hang up and listen to what you guys say on this, but I hope that our guys go down there with an edge. We might lose, but I would love to see some – I wouldn't mind even seeing a fight break out. Just some kind of aggressive attitude, like some pancake blocks or just some stuff you just don't see. Like these guys, something that shows that they care and that they hate Florida, not that whip dog attitude we've seen for the last 3 or 4 years. You know what I'm saying? See you, fellas.
Hey, appreciate the call, Matt. I agree with Matt. I wouldn't mind seeing the guys mix it up a little bit.
You know, take me back to years past, you know, where, you know, you got a little bit of a brouhaha at the beginning of the game. You know, when the teams are meeting up at the game. I like seeing that. That shows you how much this game means to both teams. That renews rivalries. Hey, Tennessee may not be where they used to be. Doesn't mean that they can't go out there and not show the fight that they have always had. Swag, drip, you know, having that's confidence. That's not talent. That's having confidence. And sometimes, even when you don't have the talent, you go out and you have the confidence, you hit somebody in the mouth a couple times early on, you can win some of these ball games.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would love to see something like that. I miss it when, you know, it was a heated rivalry and, you know, the coaches are having to pull them back at the first of the game because they want to fight before the coin toss.
Or when they're out there for warm-ups and meet at the 50-yard line.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about, meeting at the 50-yard line for the warm-ups. I miss that. Your depth chart, which has been released going into the Florida game, QB1, Joe Milton III. We'll see if that continues. I know he was listed as QB1 for last week, but he set out this past week, I'm sure, to make sure that his health was 100% going into the swamp. But Joe Milton III is your QB1, followed by Hendon Hooker or Harrison Bailey. At the running back position, Tyon Evans or Jabari Small. Hopefully Jabari Small can come back from injury. Jalen Wright is your two deep. Wide receiver, Velus Jones Jr. or Javonta Payton. Slot receiver, Jalen Hyatt, Walker Merrill or Jimmy Callaway behind him. Cedric Tillman on the other side with Anderson Kobe backing him up. Jacob Warren or Princeton Fant at the tight end. No change there. Your offensive line, Darnell Wright, left tackle, left guard, Jerome Carvin, right guard, Javonta Spraggins, right tackle, Cade Mays, center, Cooper Mays.
Coop
back on the depth chart as number one at the center. Hopefully he's 100% ready to go for the swamp. Defensive end, Jaquan Blakely, followed by Caleb Tremblay. Defensive tackle, Matthew Bumpler with Latrell Bumpus spelling him. Defensive tackle, Elijah Simmons, Dejon Terry behind him. Hadn't saw a lot from Dejon Terry either. I haven't noticed yet. Defensive end, Tyler Barron and Byron Young. Roman Harrison backing up those guys. Your linebackers don't really change. Juwan Mitchell, he'll be back, though. He didn't play this past week. Followed by Aaron Beasley. Your Will linebacker, Jeremy Bakes, Salon Page. Your DBs, not really much change there. Alante Taylor, Brandon Turner's on the two deep behind him. Warren Burrell, Kenneth George Jr., it's his backup at the star, one of the best players on the defensive side of the ball this year, if not the best, Theo Jackson, followed by Danico Slaughter. Your safeties, Jalen McCullough and Trayvon Flowers, being backed up by Christian Charles and Tamarian McDonald. 865-546-8200, 546-8200, that's our number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Come back on the other side, we'll wrap up our number one. Keep it locked here on Fan Run Radio. This is The Blitz. How they strum. All right, time to head on back down to Florida, wrapping up hour number one here on the Blitz. A Florida man, funny, was arrested after an unusual amount of, what do you guess?
Fentanyl.
Electricity was being used. That's right. Alexis Diaz was arrested after an unusual amount of electricity was being used to fuel a sophisticated grow house next to his home. That's right. The Unified Drug Enforcement Strike Team, known as UDEST, arrested Alexis Diaz last Tuesday for marijuana cultivation, trafficking in cannabis, owning a structure to manufacture or traffic drugs, and grand theft of power. It was on September 14th that UDES met with employees of Clay Electric in reference to a power theft investigation. Probably rule number one, if you're going to have a sophisticated grow house, know how much power you're using so you don't get busted by the KUB, or in their case, the Clay Electric Board, CEB. Agents also arrested Rigoberto Rodriguez for marijuana cultivation as well. Agents learned that Clay Electric noticed an irregularity in the service at 6659 Northeast 90th Street Road, and a follow-up investigation suggested that the power was diverted to a large metal building on the property for the purpose of growing marijuana. Upon entering, a large quantity of equipment used to grow marijuana was found inside and destroyed. He had two rooms filled with marijuana plants in total. How many plants do you think he had, GP3, before we get out of here?
200.
275 plants were taken in as evidence. Diaz and Rodriguez were placed under arrest and transported to the Marion County Jail. Yes.
That's one way to get caught.
That is one way to get caught. And the agents knocked on the door, and a long while later, Diaz and Rodriguez came outside. Diaz advised that he was the owner of everything inside the building, and a search warrant was then obtained. Wow, some people are so stupid, especially Florida Man. Great Florida Man story to end hour number one. We'll have another one for hour number two. But keep it locked here. We got a full slate of NFL and power rankings coming at you in the second hour. Keep it locked here. This is The Blitz, and this is Fan Run Radio.